Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 2, we were taught that people in Christian ministry should never determine where they are going to go in their ministry by how much they will be paid. Let's continue with that thought today.
People in Christian ministry, they want extra pay, less hours, and many more benefits. And boy, that's how they decide about a ministry, rather than to say, is God calling me? And they are religiously repulsive to God. And I can tell you this, now I have not been in any full-time ministry where I was brought in that I asked up front, what is my salary? I've never done that. I've never done that in my entire life. And so I've never asked, what are you going to pay me? How are we going to make it? Whatever. We just had to pray and find out, is this where God wants us? And my friend, that's what it has to be. Be where God wants me to be. Jesus said, if you didn't hate your own life, you couldn't be his disciple. See, so often it's this religious attitude of, yeah, I'm going to serve God, but I want this great income. That's repulsive to God. And some of these in ministry develop a superior attitude, a kind of a you owe it to me attitude, an entitlement mentality, and also an I am the authority attitude. And those are not glorious nor godly. Many grow up in church, do not necessarily want to lead the church, but they've learned the ways of the world, and they want their religion to comply to that. My friend, that is religiously repulsive. Now, unfortunately, we live in a day when many children are leading their parents. And so they go to church. The church sings good godly music. They say, Mom, Dad, we'd like to go to this church down there. We'd be faithful. We like it more, and it's a lot more fun and all that. And why? Because they're rocking and rolling. There's no standards. And the parents say, well, I would much rather my children want to go to church and be faithful. Well, if they're living under your roof, they better be faithful. And if you don't make them go to church, you don't have them in church, you're not a good parent. You're a terrible parent. If you let your children tell you where you're going to church, and you let the children decide what the standards of the home is going to be, and if you allow that, then you have failed in the responsibility that you have before God, and you'll give an account of that. That's a serious thing. So having seen the two sons, let's now look at their father and see the next point of the rebellion regarded in verses 22 through 25. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it's no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge will judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who will entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. We're told that at this point, Eli is very old. Now, it sounds good as if rebuking his children is what he should do, as and a father should. But notice chapter 4, verse 18. At the end of Eli's life, when his two sons have now been killed in the war, it came to pass when he made mention of the Ark of God, because the Philistines had stolen or taken the Ark of God, by the way. And somebody came back and told Eli, and when he heard they'd taken it, says that he fell off from the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck break, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. Now, what we learn about him, he was heavy. He was a fat man. So, nothing shows he committed the same sins as his son, but he obviously lived to eat. And so, this might have been something that he did himself, as far as the food was concerned, not the women. And notice what it says of his sons there. They simply are, there as he addresses them, they are going to these women, and even right there at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, they are laying with those women. I mean, right there at the church. And they do other evils. Now, no one wants to hear bad things about their children. And people can be very nice and say good things about you. But if they perceive you've hurt their children, you said something bad or did something they consider bad, all those things that they've said that were good about you mean nothing. So they lay with the women, wanting to be like the world and other religions, because they practiced this in the Canaanite religions in their land, which was a cultic type of prostitution that started off in a religious act but ended up in a sex orgy. So they want to copy the religion of the world. And so today you see out there that they're coming to church. The daughters are dressed like the harlot dresses, and the men are dressed as if there is no respect for God whatever, and they're looking for what it will do for them, and by that means how to make them feel good about themselves instead of showing them their need before God. These priests are wicked. They're adulterers. And it hindered others in the worship of God. Now, your own personal life can hinder people in the worship of God. Mark 9:42 says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea." Oh, it is a terrible thing to keep others from Christ. Eli warns them of God's judgment in verse 25. However, the sad refrain is, they hearken not unto the voice of their father. So it sounds good, what Eli is saying. Sounds like a good parent. A wise old man. He's hitting the nail right on the head. Is that? I mean, it sounds right. So is it right? Well, it's wrong. He actually regarded the rebellion of his children. Because this is not a time for words. Laying with the women and doing all the other things that they're doing against the Word of God. It's a time for action. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken to them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones. That he die, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. And I don't know if any parent ever did that in the day of Israel. But it was God's command that they wouldn't respond, then to bring them to the fathers of the city, and they'd put them to death. Now, the thing that Eli should have at least done was move these young men from their office. Notice in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 3, "In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." See, God is holding Eli accountable. for what his adult son's doing. Why? Because he was in the position of authority as the priest of God, and he put his kids before God. It was Eli's duty as a priest of God to have them removed from office, at least, actually, to have them put to death. He was a dad that instead of spanking and saying no or making them live by righteous rules, he tolerated them and went along with the days we live in philosophy instead of God's word. You'll notice the contrast in verse 18, verse 26. Verse 18 says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod." Verse 26, "The child Samuel grew on and was in favor with both the Lord and also with men." Samuel walked with God, even though these other two boys did not. Eli's toleration led to the next point of the righteous reward in verses 27 through 34. My friend, toleration, tolerating sin, is never, ever the will of God in the home or in the church, nor in life in general. Now in verse 27 he says, "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honors thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm, and the arm of thy father's house. There shall not be an old man in thine house, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. The man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them." This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no grace. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.